Good morning. Thank you for spending part of your Sunday with us here on News Radio 930 WFMD. This is The Faith Debate. I'm Troy Skinner, the pastor of a church called Household of Faith in Christ, online at householdoffaithinchrist.com. Of course, you can follow The Faith Debate on the radio station website at WFMD.com. We pick up this week with a conversation that started last week on a book called The Last Days Pride Parade and the Return of the Lord, written by Tom Maccabeus, published by Greg Winsor. And we entered that conversation talking about some of the biblical and non-biblical sources to support the arguments in the book, and we alluded to some of the history, church history and otherwise, in that, and we didn't really do a deep dive, so we're going to do that this week. And here to do that, again, Imran Razvi from, two places, the church that meets at Imran's and also Conquered by Love Ministries online at conqueredbylove.org. And from those same places, Daniel Razvi, he's on again this week, along with Greg Winsor, who is the publisher of the book The Last Days Pride Parade and the Return of the Lord. And The Last Days Pride Parade and the Return of the Lord is available for purchase at barnesandnoble.com. And it was interesting. I want to pick up on this before we get into the history stuff, but you mentioned where people could get the book last week, and you mentioned that Barnes & Noble was one of the places that didn't kibosh it. So did you have some issue with people at other, yes, booksellers that said, yeah, we're not touching that topic?
So the shocking thing is, okay, so this author writes a book and he's quoting history. That's all it is. It's here's the history, here's what the Bible says, not in any way attacking anybody. Going after the ideology, but not one single evidence of any kind of hate speech. So two publishers, very, very large, I'm not going to mention their names, but they said, take this down immediately. So they shut it down. You know, they refused to run it, thus proving the initial point of the book, because the book starts out that we live in a time where Christians are losing their businesses. Christians are being sued for hundreds of thousands of dollars. People are being put in jail. Some people are being killed. Some people are losing their livelihood. Why? Because they just want to hold the marriages between a man and a woman. Or, you know, they send out a Bible verse and a text message. The author has documented like 50 cases, like in the last couple years, of just blatant persecution because of this agenda. So the publishers basically proved the premise of the first chapter of the book, the ones who shut it down. Anyway.
It's interesting. Now, what's been the reception of, we've given you feedback, last week's show
that's
we
good.
Did.
Yeah, no, that's good.
What
it's
other kind
good.
Of feedback have you received? Have you had some, hate mail? Have you had some people loving you?
Well, some people have been very, that's just homophobic. I mean, even some Christians, they said, look, this is sounds homophobic.
I wouldn't call them Christians then.
Now, that's interesting, because anybody who heard last week's episode knows that I was the one who was asking some questions for clarification. Some of them could have even been accidentally characterized as like pointed pushback, which wasn't the intention. It was seeking to just clarify the mode of communication in the book and that sort of thing. But despite any pushback I would have, maybe I'm just like oblivious. I read the book.
Right.
I don't say anything homophobic about it.
No, the author intentionally tried to be redemptive and even mentioned, look, the whole Pride Parade thing started because the heterosexuals throughout the Bible, the sexual revolution, that was mainly heterosexual. So it's not targeting. Yeah, this is really important. The book is not targeting and saying, look how bad the LGBTQ is. No, it's about a whole entire worldwide sexual lawlessness, but it's being headed
by the parade. Any sex outside of a marriage between one man and one woman for life is ungodly and unbiblical.
Amen.
And sinful. So there's a whole lot more that goes into that than just homosexuality.
Yeah, and the reason I say, first of all, we've come to change our terms anyway. So if we want to go all the way back to what defining our terms and what it really means, homophobia means a fear of those that are homosexual or engaging in homosexual behaviors. There's no fear of that in this book. Now, I know that it's come to mean something other than fear. It has to do with some sort of a hatred for those who engage in this sort of thing. But there's no hatred in this book either. Now, there is a definite and direct.
You call it sin, that makes
it's
like
definitely directly categorized as a sin. But those are just statements of biblical truth and fact from a Christian worldview perspective.
Troy, you're behind the times.
That's not the same as...
If you say somebody's sinning, that means you must hate them.
That's not the same as homophobia.
Right.
Now, I will say this. Anybody who's angry with this book or angry with what I just said or angry with the attaboys I'm getting from Daniel, you're clearly Christophobic and you hate Christ and you hate Christians and you're afraid of Christ and you're afraid of Christians, which actually probably has some truth to it when you think about it.
Sure.
But I mean, it works both ways. If we can't have an honest dialogue about where we're coming from on things, and it's not just mere opinion. Now, again, I asked some clarifying questions last week, and so there are some differences between me and the author of this book, for instance. But the premise of the arguments that we all would make, at least those in this room and represented by this book, are the same. The premise of our arguments is, what does God's word say?
Right.
And sometimes we don't always 100% fully agree on what God's word is saying because we're emphasizing different things, or and we have to have a meeting of the mind, which is what a show like this is designed to do, to help us figure that out so that at the end of it all, we can hopefully get more closely aligned and be on the same page, like literally, I guess. But there's no homophobia. That's a little bit, other than generically, anything that's biblical being homophobic.
Right.
If that's what you were hearing, well then, good for you, I guess.
And you know, the ironic thing, just for the record, the early Christians were called haters. That's what the Romans called them, haters.
And cannibals.
Yeah, right.
And atheists. So,
right, the atheists, yeah. So also, you know, the responses have been kind of shocking, like, what? How come I never heard about this, you know? Or else, this is kind of hard to critique, but some Christians have a, well, you know, the world's always been evil. Yeah, it's just another evil. Almost like a blasé attitude towards it. Like, but what they don't, I think what they're not getting is that if, you know, God declares the end from the beginning. And so Jesus, God gives us hundreds of prophecies in order to prepare his people, to encourage his people, so we won't be surprised. And so if something is happening that's a specific prophecy, if we write it off as, yeah, that's just the world. The problem is it's not just the world. It's one denomination after another. Every single denomination, I think, is pretty much has either capitulated to that god of sensuality or lovers of self, lovers of pleasure.
At least the big name denominations, a lot of them have.
Right. So, or else they're compromising.
I'm agreeing with what both of you just said. I think that what Greg Windsor is saying is that at some level, all the denominations are wrestling with, and there are certain elements within certain denominations that are beginning to go astray. And I think what Daniel is trying to clarify is, but they haven't been completely given over, and some of them are fighting within their ranks, and they're holding the line.
Right.
It's been a challenge, maybe, but they've been holding the line, so they're not completely. So there are some good denominations and some good groups of churches that do exist. But I think that the point that Greg was making is that this infection is impacting the immune systems of all denominations, and all of the immune systems are being called to bear right now.
You know what?
And those with weak immune systems are falling apart.
And no sarcasm meant. It's like a spiritual AIDS virus. It goes after the immune system. And so, let me just clarify. I wasn't trying to broad brush all the denominations up, but
my job.
But you have
denominations.
We've
talked about that on the program before. We've said something to the effect of less than 1% of the people that call themselves churches are actually biblical churches that are worth attending. So today, we're pretty extreme in that belief on this program here.
So just today, you have a major theological seminary. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to pick on them. Very conservative, who see. They'll say, oh, yes, we believe marriage is between a man and a woman. They'll say that, but then they'll say, but we need to accept these gay unions, or we need to accept
like the Pope saying you can bless the union. You can't approve of it, but you can bless it.
But so the danger is the subtle apostasy. I mean, there's the obvious, I believe obvious, you know, from the liberal Christianity they abandoned scripture decades, if not centuries ago. But then there's the subtle thing of Christians holding to saying that they believe in marriage between a man and a woman. We believe in the traditional view, biblical view, really. But they're compromising subtly, and that's the real danger.
Well, I would liken it to the abortion movement. You know, for the last few decades, there's been a number of so-called conservatives, so-called Christians. Well, I would never kill my baby. Right. But, you know, what you do with your body, that's up to you. Well, no, it's not up to you. Sin is not up to you. It's, right. You know, you can say on the one hand, look, it's not my place to specifically judge you because God's already going to do that. But you need to be able to be vocal and say, well, what sin is, this is actually sin. And the same people that were compromising on that, well, you know, personally I'm pro-life, but, you know, what you do, those are the same people that said, well, I believe marriage is, but, you know, but what you do in the privacy of your home, right, with consenting adults, that's right, that, you know, that's your business.
Or you should attend a lesbian wedding, that's okay, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. So the thing is,
even give them a gift.
Right.
According to Alistair Begg.
Right. Oh, man.
And it's sad. So the fundamental issue, sadly, is, the spirit of Antichrist wants Christians to compromise. That's what he's after. And that's what Emperor Antiochus wanted them to fall away, to commit sin, to ruin their conscience. And that's what the spirit of this age is after.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is there's a real big spirit of fear. Most Christians today will not stand up, will not be standing in the gap as God has called men to do. They're not standing up for the biblical worldview. They're afraid. They're afraid of cancel culture. They're afraid of personal attacks. And they have right to. I mean, look at the attack the Supreme Court justices at their houses, you know? So the evil in this world is really going after anybody that stands up. And so most people don't want to stand up. They want to say, well, I may believe this, but you know what? You can believe whatever you want. And that's not the gospel. In fact, we're supposed to preach to people, said, this is what God says.
Right.
It's not what I say. You don't have to. There's no reason to get mad at me. Okay? This is what God says. And what I found funny, what you guys said earlier, is, you know, the homophobia. It's really atheists are Christophobia. You know, they are so afraid of God because they know they're wrong, and that's why they fight against it. If they don't believe there's a God, why would they fight against it, right?
Right, and so they have unhealthy fear of God, not the right kind of fear of God that we're called to.
If God isn't real, how can he offend you?
Right.
I mean, literally, how can it? But really, the Christians are afraid, and that's something that, I mean, we understand where the fear comes from, but we still need to be strong against that because it's we're not homophobic. Right. We're homophobia-phobic. Like, we're afraid of being called homophobes, right? That's, and we should not be.
Yeah, and we need to get to the point. I think we've begun to get there on other issues. For example, I don't like using this word in a typical context, but here you'll know exactly what I'm talking about because it's the word that's thrown out. It's the label that's attached to somebody like those sitting in this room. You racist, you. And it's gotten to the point where that's been so commonly thrown out there that it means nothing anymore. I mean, there are people like, all right, that's all you got? Call me. 20 years ago, you call somebody a racist. No, I'm not a racist. I've got many black friends. Like, they've got all those. But now it's like, okay, whatever. You got something else? Because that's meaningless. You've used it for everything, right? Right. My shoes are dirty. I'm a racist. You know, I didn't wash my dishes after dinner. I'm a racist. Like, it's the label is attached to everything, whether it's a sinful behavior or not. So it doesn't mean anything anymore. So if that's all you got, I'm not offended. I'm not afraid of it. I think we need to get to that place with this homophobia and all the other garbage labels. Yeah, anything that's like, it's ridiculous on the face. It's not going to impact me anymore. It's like, whatever. I'm rubber, you're glue. You know, like, we have to have that kind of an attitude. Whoever you throw at me bounces off me and sticks to you. Because a lot of times that's what it is that's going on, by the way. It's projection anyway.
Right.
So we just need to let them own the projection that they're trying to fire at you.
Right. And the important thing I think that you're touching on is, yeah, if you're rooted in what God said, if you know this is what God said, it doesn't matter what people say. But a lot of people, there's a spirit of intimidation that's designed to suppress, and that's part of the rainbow agenda. And that's why so many Christians, I believe, are falling away, or so many church members. And also, you know—
Love that distinction, by the way.
Yeah.
Church members falling away rather than Christians falling away.
Well, yeah, it's— That's a whole nother subject there.
Yeah.
But throughout history, you know, it's like Rome. By the way, here's another evidence. Let me just give you a little piece. Okay, throughout history, there was Antichrist figures, and there's a common thread. Many of the Antichrist figures throughout history either promoted what we would call a rainbow agenda, or lived out a decadent rainbow agenda. For instance, Nero, the early church thought, wow, this guy could be the Antichrist. Nero was like the archetype of an Antichrist. He lived, he did unspeakable things you can't, you know. And by the way, Nero had a parade too, where he married somebody and he went around Rome and tried to convince them. But even the decadent Romans didn't go along and said, no, 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 let's keep marriage between a man and a woman. But the point is, it's the intimidation. Yeah, okay, so the early church, just a pinch of salt. Come on, just do a little pinch of salt. You know, they finally came up with this litmus test to get them to fall away. So that's the spirit that we're dealing with.
And I like that phrase. I mean, even the Romans, there are some distinctions. When I was in the camp of, oh, wow, I never thought of this before, because I'd studied history a lot. I knew about the Maccabean Revolt. I knew about the history of what now called Hanukkah, but really right. The Feast of Dedication, and those types of things. And even the nudity and the gymnasium stuff, I had read that before, but nobody, until I had read this book, nobody had connected the dots about, look, they were actually doing what we would call a pride parade, and they were actually marching to transgender gods, and they were actually forcing the believers to participate. That had never happened before,
right?
In that way until today. And except in some ways it's even worse today, and that's why when you say even the Romans, it reminded me, I mean, there's one distinction, because all throughout history there have been deviant sexual behaviors, right. And even in Sodom we see that. But even in those situations, they never called it marriage or a replacement for marriage. They said this is something, even the Romans would have this, pederasty and homosexuality was rampant in the Roman Empire, but it was, hey, you do this thing when you're young and growing up, and you take a male lover and this thing, and that's part of the culture. And then, okay, now you're grown up, find a wife, propagate the species. Like, they didn't call it marriage because they weren't stupid enough to think that this could be a replacement for the family. Right. This was something else they did which was fun or culturally appropriate or whatever that was separate from the family. And what's happened in the last a couple of decades, and especially the last few years, is an intentional destroying of the family. Not only do we do these behaviors, we are calling it marriage, we are calling it a family, and to the extent that a family is not even necessary, right. And it's so stupid, just logically, you can't propagate right. The species that way. But that's the first time in history that that's been the case. Right. But it does come from the closest parallel, even though this is worse than it's ever been, the closest parallel we've ever had has been in that time of the Maccabean Revolt. And that's I think, the nice tie that this book makes.
Right. That's the voice of Daniel Rasby. The one who just said right is Greg Windsor, publisher of The Last Days Pride Parade and The Return of the Lord. And Imran Rasby is also been on today's show, and I'm sure he'll have more to say as we continue today's program. I'm Troy Skinner. This is The Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. So we've very nicely dovetailed into the history kinds of points that I was hoping to focus on in this week's show. And it's interesting. I'm going to be the contrarian a little bit, but it's in a spirit of agreement. It's just it's almost pulling out little fine hairs here and there. I felt like maybe the case was overstated or overplayed a little bit in the spirit of, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, as we see in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. I do agree, though, that there seems to be a pervasiveness and a scale that strikes us as new. It's across the globe, particularly the Western portion of the globe, Western civilization, and it's so pervasive, and it has infected the visible church anyway in ways that that feel unprecedented. And you do allude to this book you've published alludes to the idea of the historical connections. We have the sexual deviancy of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have the stories in the Old Testament of rape and incest and all sorts of bad sexual behaviors. And those who want to say, well, homosexuality doesn't exist in the Old Testament. Well, you need to read it again because it does over and over again, actually. And then in the and then the time of the Maccabean Revolt, and then even in the New Testament, this is where my non-dispensational point of view has some effect on how I understand some of this. I don't disagree that what happened during the time of the Maccabees and the abomination of desolation there is a precursor pointing to something future. But I would say that an aspect of what that's pointing to is the abomination of desolation that would have happened in AD 70 with the destruction of the temple and all of the things leading up to and incorporated in that. And even that is then leading to the ultimate very end of time right. With the return of Christ. So I do think that there are these presentations of prophetic things. As it was described to me once by a seminary professor, you know, from our point of view, we look off to the horizon and it looks as though there's just one mountain peak.
Right.
But as you continue your march forward and you navigate through the woods and get closer and closer, you realize that, oh, it's not a mountain peak, it's a mountain range. From a distance, it looks like one mountain. But as you get a different perspective, you realize it's multiple mountains. And all of those multiple mountains are aligned in such a way that they appear as one presentation of the future truth. And so, is it true that the what was going on with during the times of the Maccabean revolt is pointing to things that are playing out still today? Yes, but it was also pointing to things that would play out in the first century.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And so, and I don't know that that was amplified in the book all that much, which is why my attention was drawn to it. So, you want to respond to that?
I think that because so much has been written about the desolation of Jerusalem in 70 AD, I think the author tried to cover territory that has not been covered. Like, you study any kind of eschatology, and, you know, there was a lot happening in 70 AD, partial fulfillments. But one interesting thing is that I do believe there is some historic record that Titus did defile the temple with a prostitution, a sexual defilement in the Holy of Holies. And that's the reason why some of the praetors think that that was the fulfillment of Daniel. But again, I agree with that position that was only another foreshadowing for the final event of the final Antichrist.
And you brought it up, and I'm glad you did. So I'm just going to just make sure we don't do a quick drive-by reference to it. I don't want us to run the risk of underselling the unbelievable animalistic, not merely pagan, but demonic behavior of Nero. Mm.
Oh,
I think Nero as an individual and Nero and what those closest to him were involved with is really close to what we see on a grander scale. Nero had a quote-unquote marriage ceremony to his gay young lover.
Yeah.
So he was even trying to treat that as a marriage. So that was a more of a microcosm for what is playing itself out in a more macrocosm kind of a way. But things were really, really bad once upon a time, and things are really, really bad now.
Right.
And I think we've allowed ourselves to enter into some sort of weird cocoon where we lived in this false version of Christianity, the Christendom or the churchianity, as I sometimes call it, where we think that, you know, if we can go back to the 1950s, you know, life would be so much better. Well, you know, the church and the loss of commitment to biblical sufficiency by the 1950s.
Right.
Is what led to the 1960s and everything that has followed.
Absolutely.
So it's not like the 1950s were the good old days, right? So we don't want to merely
in history there was evil.
Yeah, we don't want to merely get back to that. We want to get back to something better,
right?
Than that. So we've got just a couple of minutes, and I want to leave us time again to promote some things. So I know that you want to promote how you can get the book, and Daniel's got an event coming up. So let's talk about that.
Yes.
Real quick.
Yes. Okay. You can go to BarnesandNobles.com, look up Last Days Pride Parade. And yes, and there's a couple other outlets. Actually, there's a lot of other outlets, or you can go to Draft Digital, and there's many other outlets that have it. But just do a Google search, Last Days Pride Parade.
And I also wanted to talk about an event that's happening in just this coming weekend, September 7th and 8th. It's a ballet that I've written, Daniel Rasby. I'm the composer. And
do you dance in it?
I'm not dancing. I'm conducting. I'll be conducting a full live orchestra in the pit in Rockville, and we'll have dancers on stage. And
please tell me Imran dances in it.
So anyway, if you're interested, I won't say any more, but if you're interested to see what is going on, then it's estherballet.com. Again, that's estherballet.com, and the discount code is Hadassah.
And there's two performances.
There are two performances, Saturday the 7th and Sunday the 8th. You have all the details on the website, estherballet.com.
And I want to mention, you know, this is not just entertainment, okay? This actually will be the reading of Esther. It is biblical. The whole idea behind this is historically true and biblical, so it's not just entertainment.
Just happens to be set to music and dancing and all of that, but we do read through the Book of Esther, and we'll talk about that.
So it's a performance for such a time as this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And to remind you, don't be a Haman.
And there's a wonderful link of God's deliverance in the face of an Antichrist spirit with Haman.
Yes.
Yeah, well, good, good stuff. And I'll promote their ministry. The Razvies have a ministry called Conquered by Love Ministries, online at conqueredbylove.org. And of course, they pastor a church called the Church That Meets at Imran's House. And he's not here, but I'll promote him real quick. I've done that a couple of times, but David Forsey, he's typically on this panel. He's not here this time, but he's a pastor in the area. If you want to get in touch with him or connect with what he's all about, you have to do that through me because he doesn't really do a whole lot of online stuff. And you can connect with me. You can go to WFMD.com, but I think it's a little easier to connect with me directly through email or even my phone number, that sort of stuff, and learn about everything that's involved with this show and our various ministries at householdoffaithinchrist.com. It's a one-stop shop where you can connect with podcasts of this show, which are always posted on the station's website and also eventually onto sermonaudio.com and odyssey.com and all my social media and that sort of stuff. You can connect with all of that again through the hub that is the website, householdoffaithinchrist.com. So we're going to continue our conversation about the last day's Pride Parade and the return of the Lord and issues maybe related to it as we begin to pivot perhaps into some other areas and hot topics. We'll do that next week, 167 and a half hours from right about now. Till then, God bless.